The very essence of sacramental theology is that the world we see around us teaches us something about the invisible world, the world that we cannot see, the world we cannot sense, the spiritual reality of God, the divine reality. And that's exactly what happens to us in every sacrament. Baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, all of these are visible signs that communicate a divine reality that we cannot see. I'd like to use a particular metaphor when it comes to the spiritual life. We can compare our soul, our heart, to something that is very real and tangible and something we all experience. And that is the reality of being at home. Think about your living room. Hopefully it's a comfortable place you like to be. Our home is a place where we carry out the things that we do day to day. Now obviously you go to work, but then you come home. Home is just plain home. We know what home means. The soul is like our spiritual living room, if you will. The soul is the place where we have our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, our memories, all of these intangible things that are part of our life as human beings. Now, picture yourself in your living room at home. There's a knock at the door. So you go to the door to find out who's there, right? We all know the joke, knock, knock, who's there, right? You go to the door to see who it is. And when you find out who it is, you make a decision about whether you want that person to come into your home. If it's a person who's wearing some sort of a black mask and you don't know who it is and it looks like he has a weapon, you might not want to let that person into your home, right? But if you look out and you see that it's your friend, someone who's good and whose company you enjoy, then of course you open the door and let your friend in. And this is a very good analogy for our soul. Our soul, this place where we live and move and have our being interiorly, is a place that we want to keep good and clean and pure. We also know there's a constant barrage of things, people, guests, you could say, knocking at the door of the soul and trying to gain entrance. But if we're going to keep our soul and keep our heart clean and pure, we have to first of all find out who's knocking. And then we make a decision about whether we're going to allow that into the living room of our soul. So, for example, thoughts are knocking. Thoughts about, what did that person do to me? Or, thoughts that we just shouldn't be having about another person. Feelings of bitterness or resentment, perhaps feelings of unforgiveness or jealousy or any kind of thing like that. Maybe it's fear, anxiety, worry that knocks at the door of our soul. But there's also a lot of good that knocks at the door. There is love. There is joy, peace, patience, goodness. There's all kinds of things that try to come into our soul. So we realize then that the door that opens and allows these things to come into our soul is our free will. It's our ability to make choices. And so nothing from outside forces its way in. Nothing comes in without our allowing it. Sometimes we make decisions that aren't fully conscious, that aren't fully free or fully informed, but they are still decisions. We can also make the choice, of course, to keep the door closed to things that want to come into our soul. Now, sometimes, obviously, we make bad decisions and we allow things to come in that shouldn't be there. If we all step back and take a hard look at our life, we probably know interiorly the things that are there that shouldn't be there. We know the struggles in our lives. We know the temptations, we know our weak points, we know all of those things. The parts where we really are just struggling or having trouble. The beautiful thing about our faith is that God understands that we're works in progress. He understands that we're not always perfect at closing the door to the things that we want to keep out and opening the door to the things that we want to come in. He understands that. He sees, he totally gets that we're works in progress. But he's asking us to put our priorities in order, and that will help us to make good decisions about what comes in and what stays out. So Jesus, in today's gospel, is telling his disciples, don't worry. Easy, right? Yeah. None of us have trouble with that at all. No, of course, worries do tend to work their way into our minds and hearts. And he's not saying, you should have no concern about what you eat or drink or any of that. He's not saying never eat and never wear clothes or anything like that, clearly. But he's saying, towards the very end, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. In other words, if we put God as our first priority, if God is the one we always serve in our life, then all of these other parts of our life find their place. They fall into proper order. Not magically, not always easily, but if we're persistent and persevering in putting God first, then the rest of our life comes into proper order. And that's such a beautiful thing. And it's not just a matter of our, making it so. God is there extending his hand, helping us, giving us strength to make the right decisions that will put him absolutely first. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself, he says. Seek first the kingdom of God. So when we go to the door of our soul, when we hear that knocking, and we know that something is wanting to come in, if we're seeking God first, we'll be able to make a good decision about whether we open the door of our soul through our free will to allow that to come in. And when God is absolutely first, then we're going to be more and more able to open the door to love and to mercy and forgiveness. We're going to be able to open our door more consistently to generosity and all that is good in life. And when we put God first, we will likewise be able to not only close the door on what's trying to get in, but we can also allow God to help us to kick out those guests that are presently there that we don't want. When we fill our soul with the Lord, then that purifying presence gets rid of our attachment to other things, things that are not of God. And he works with us slowly but surely, purifying and strengthening us, sanctifying us, so that our desire in life is for him alone. Jesus says no one can serve two masters. The reality is, most of us have probably kind of a mixed experience of that. We know that we want to serve God. We know that we should love God with all our heart. But sometimes we serve our own interests as well. Sometimes we may bow to a different master. Jesus says, don't worry. I'll help you. I understand where you're at. And I will bring you to a better place where your heart is all for me, where you will experience the Father's love in a way like never before. And you will have the peace and the joy that I want you to have.